You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, it's Dr. Ron and Linda on the road again, and I do want to talk about that because we had some interesting experiences, but we need to really get into what's happening in this country right now at this time, which is rioting, demonstrating, looting, vandalism.
Burning of minority businesses. It's Ferguson all over again. The country has been ignited. And speaking of that, you wrote an outstanding article for America Out Loud, and I hope our friends and followers get on the America Out Loud platform and read that article. And I believe the title of it is The Spark That
Lit the Powder Keg.
There you go.
Yeah, it's on America Out Loud right now. And basically what the article says is that the death of George Floyd ignited the smoldering embers of inner city people shut in too long during the COVID pandemic. They lost their jobs. They have nothing to do. They're out of work, right? They're bored.
They're stagnant.
Yeah, they're
not working.
Yeah.
They feel depressed. They feel hopeless. There's a lot of self-medication going on. I mean, there's all sorts of things that are happening during this pandemic lockdown. And, you know, you and I talk about this all the time about the unintended consequences for making, you know, poor decisions, right? And,
yes.
And we're not saying, by the way, that locking people down is a poor decision. It is situational, circumstantial, and it's environment specific. In other words, if you have really, really high COVID cases and you have a high death rate, then you probably want to have people do things like shelter in place and wear masks and gloves and practice, you know, Uber hygiene, all of these things, because we do know that that mitigates the spread of a pandemic. However, we're also saying that this has gone, in many parts of the country, this has gone clearly out of control.
Well, and then you have a white police officer who basically ends the life of a black man, and that is a recipe for disaster in this country. But what you see, Ron, is that you see a lot of people that are out there that are being sent or being paid or being coming from different areas, different parts of the country to protest in these areas. And I don't know, this just reeks of somebody like George Soros to me that sets up some of this. We all are incensed about what we saw on the video.
Yeah, I think you made a very good comment in your article, and you said that when resistance ceases, that's when excessive force begins. And I don't think any police officer, use of force instructor, police practices expert with any common sense in their head would disagree with you on that. And we're going to have to see what the pathology is on that. But, you know, that's for other people to make that decision. People can make their own decision as to whether the officer caused the death of George Floyd or was contributory to the death of George Floyd. You know, what happened? Let's wait until the medical experts, the pathologists decide on that. But I don't think anybody doubts that that looks horrible for the Minneapolis Police Department and for the four officers that have been arrested. And I don't think anybody would disagree with you that that's what needed to be done.
And there is nothing that there is to mitigate that. Okay. But in Chicago alone, Ron, in the month of May in Chicago alone, 56 people have been gunned down and killed, and over 200 have been shot. Where's the outrage about that? Where is Mayor Lori Lightfoot talking about that?
Well, you're not going to see any outrage on that, because it's just like what I wrote in my very popular book, you know, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. And I said, this is just a repeat of Ferguson, Missouri. Okay, that's what this is. This is a repeat of what happened in Ferguson. The difference is that in Ferguson, the officer acted justifiably and appropriately and was cleared of all charges by, I think, five different investigative agencies. Okay, Darren Wilson. And in this case, the use of force of the officer, people are saying, was extremely inappropriate.
Well, and I would have to agree with that.
And you and I don't disagree with anybody's First Amendment rights for peaceful protest.
Yes.
But underlining the word peaceful, there has to be peaceful protests and not the looting, not the burning, not the vandalism, all of that that's taking place, because that's self-serving and that has nothing to do with seeking justice for George Floyd.
No, and if it was a matter of justice, the people that went by and shot a black security person,
a federal security officer
in Oakland,
right,
and black man, murdered him, I hear no outcry about that.
But
so why is that black life less important than the other?
And that's exactly what I wrote about in my book, because it isn't black lives matter. It's some black lives matter and other black lives don't matter. The 56 that were killed in Chicago, the scores that are killed in Detroit, in Washington, D.C., in Los Angeles, California, in Detroit, Michigan. I mean, you name it. Those black lives don't seem to matter. Okay.
Well,
and then also, Linda, you mentioned in your article that, and absolutely correct, that we have about 600,000 street law enforcement officers in the United States, and every single month they make tens of millions of contacts with the public. And of all those tens of millions of contacts with the public, only 1 to 2/10 of 1% resorts in any use of force whatsoever, let alone the death of an individual.
Well, that's exactly right. And the thing that's frustrating to law enforcement officers is when you have 99.99% of officers doing a wonderful job for the communities, and then you have one loose cannon like this guy who comes out and does something not only stupid, but dangerous and deadly, it ruins it for everybody else. That does not excuse the looting, which has nothing to do with this. This is only street thugs taking advantage of the situation to get themselves some free stuff. The burning is the same thing. And we see in communities, in places where we used to live, in California, for example, in Temecula, California, where we used to live, there really was not much of a black population there. However, there was a whole bunch of them there today protesting and causing a ruckus. So they had to have been transported there from somewhere. Why there? I don't understand why there.
In all the years that you and I have lived in Temecula, California, I don't think that we have seen 100 black people in our community. We have some blacks, but it's just so few. And when I saw, from a good friend of ours that took a video and posted it on Facebook, when I saw the people that were out there protesting in Temecula, for God's sakes, which has got zero history of excessive force by police officers, as a matter of fact, wonderful community relations, and no racism against people of any color in that town.
No, that's true.
When we see those people, we know those people are brought in from out of the city and to cause problems because, I mean, truth be told, the city of Temecula, California is a predominantly white, upper middle class to upper class community and a very cohesive community. It's a very peaceful community. And I think that's why they bring those people in there.
Well, but then you have all of the inner cities across the country that are just blowing up with demonstrations, with violence, with burning. You know, in San Diego, California, they burned some banks. And you name the inner city, and you look at the people who are doing this, I promise you that these are not people that are gainfully employed raising their families. These are people that have nothing to do that are doing this. And there's one more thing about this that really makes me angry, but I can see that you're dying to say something.
So. Well, I was going to mention, they've been posting a lot of video and a lot of news video for my city where I retired as a police officer and a detective, San Jose, California. And that city has just blown up. And the San Jose Police Department has got a history of having wonderful police community relations. I mean, all the chiefs that I've worked for and the chiefs that followed, you know, my retirement had bent over backwards with the department to have good police community relations. And so when you see things like this blowing up in downtown San Jose, we just question that, you know, because that's not the relationship that the San Jose Police Department historically has had with their community.
Well, and I agree. And the other thing that really is frustrating to me is that the Democratic governors and mayors who have been the ones that we have been railing against about, you know, arresting somebody in their hair salon or arresting somebody in their bar for going to work, who have not allowed church services to happen because of COVID, are all of a sudden all for all of these demonstrations, and they don't condemn them and they don't condemn the people. So I guess that COVID is gone now because nobody's complaining about it, right?
Well, yeah.
Everybody's in big groups and they're all near each other. And I don't see a lot of people wearing masks unless they're looting places. But what is the hypocrisy? Either there is COVID and it's a serious problem and you need to be locked down, or there's not. You can't go to church, but you can be violently demonstrating in the street.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it goes farther than that. I mean, here's a great, you know, case of example. So the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota is Keith Ellison. Now, you know Keith Ellison. He's got a history.
Yes.
So he gets elected to the position of Attorney General. Well, he's got a son by the name of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is a city councilman for the city of Minneapolis. And just today, Ellison, meaning Jeremiah Ellison, declared his support for Antifa. And you know me, I have talked about Antifa a lot. I'm planning on writing a book about Antifa because it is not the anti-fascist organization that it purports to be. It is actually one of the strongest, if not the strongest, fascist organization that we have in the United States of America. These are true fascists. They're anarchists. They are anti-democratic government. They are ruthless. They're violent people. And they come from out of city and out of state. And they have been funded by George Soros in the past. And they continue to be funded by, you know, various groups of people. As a matter of fact, you know, a lot of these privileged Hollywood celebrities support them. And what's the name of the gal that's married to, you know, the singer?
The model. I'll think of it.
Okay. Anyway, she has offered to donate money to bail people that were looters and rioters and arsonists out of jail.
Well, a number of celebrities have done that. And I'm appalled because these people are ruining other people's lives. They are taking their businesses and burning them and looting them. And you are going to take it upon yourself to bail them out?
Well, you know, I did an entire chapter on Beyonce and Carter and her husband, Jay-Z.
Right.
And they had donated millions of dollars to the Black Lives Matter movement, which of course is a militant Marxist movement responsible for the arsoning and you know, burning and looting of Black-owned businesses in Ferguson, Missouri after the death of Michael Brown. Okay. And here you go again. Now you've got more celebrities getting in behind these radical groups. And I know President Trump just very recently said that he was declaring Antifa as an urban terrorist organization.
And he should. But you know, the hypocrisy of, let's say, Andrew Cuomo, just he's one example of many who said that earlier in the month, before all of this happened, when the people wanted to reopen the state and get back to work, he said, "You have no right to jeopardize my health and my children's health and your children's health." And now he says he stands with those defying stay-at-home orders. Come on. I mean, which is it? That's not fair.
That's exactly right. Well, Linda, if you want to talk about privilege, let's talk about athletic privilege, where you have some of these uber elite, black, rich athletes such as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Colin Kaepernick encouraging and giving support to these urban terrorists, to these looters, these arsonists. You know, these people are far beyond protesters, okay? They are not protesters. They are pillagers. They are injuring people. They're killing police officers. They're injuring police officers, injuring poor defenseless women and the elderly, and just out for what they can get. And these people, the Jabbars, the Kaepernicks that have lived in privilege all their lives, are supporting these people.
Well, and not just supporting, but there's a fund that was set up for donations called the Minnesota Freedom Fund. That's a nonprofit which dedicates itself to bailing these people out. And Hollywood celebrities like Steve Carell, Seth Rogen, Ben Schwartz, and of course Christy Teigen all are contributing to bail these people out. How do you bail people out that are ruining other people's lives? You know, there was a story that broke my heart in Minnesota of a black fireman that wanted his whole life, his dream was to have a sports bar. And he saved and saved and saved, because firemen don't make a ton of money.
And his wife saved.
Yes. And they saved and they built that sports bar. And in March, that sports bar was done. And then you had COVID come,
and
right?
And in the inner neighborhood, too. So he could, you know, help his community.
Yes.
Help his black community. He built this beautiful sports bar by scratch. Blood, sweat, tears, and money.
And they literally just opened the doors. And these thugs burned it to the ground, and they had no insurance. And my heart is broken for them, because here's somebody trying to help the inner city community. Here's somebody that is doing everything he can. Not only is he a first responder, but he's building a place that they can go and enjoy themselves, and they burn it to the ground. And what is the point of that? And then these people come in and they want to bail people out.
You know, they just don't see it. And what has happened, you know, and I anticipate this happening as well. What happened in Ferguson is when those community, you know, black owned businesses were burned to the ground. And I think someone was just talking about it.
Yes,
they were. A business owner that, you know, had a business there. He said many of those businesses never reopened, and those people have no place to go. And let's have some more discussion about this right after we have our first cup of coffee.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
We're all coffeeed up, and I wanted to talk about, again, just like with Ferguson, the false narratives. And the false narratives coming out of these Democratic-controlled cities, and Minneapolis, Minnesota, and St. Paul, Minnesota, you know, the twin cities with their two different mayors, they're all on the same sheet of music as to what the false narrative is going to be. It's not what we see on television, and that is predominantly minority people that are looting and burning and, you know, throwing Molotov cocktails and bottles and rocks and assaulting police officers. What they are saying, for instance, the mayor of Minneapolis, the mayor of St. Paul, and other people like, you know, the city council person, Jeremiah Ellison, who says that he is supporting Antifa, is that it's white power people and organized crime and cartels and people and foreign actors that are the people that are doing all of this damage.
Oh, I have an addition for you. Susan Rice came out and said that it was the Russians doing this.
Oh, that's who the foreign actors are. So, I mean, if anybody buys that, believe me, I've got a bridge over in Brooklyn that I'll sell you. You know, Linda, you found a story. This is a perfect example about this New York lawyer.
Yeah, you have an Ivy League educated lawyer and a member of the Brooklyn community, and he and his other lawyer, so this guy's name was Colin Ford Mattis, and he was behind the wheel of a minivan, and his passenger, who was another attorney, Aruj Rahman, hurled a Molotov cocktail at an NYPD vehicle.
Two officers of the court, two members of the New York bar.
Who, by the way, are black men.
Not white power guys,
no.
Not cartel guys, and not foreign Russian agitators.
And these are guys that went to Princeton University and New York University Law School. I mean, what are they thinking here? First of all, they're ruining their career. Secondly, I mean, I have no words to say for how people get caught up. This is a mob mentality. And when you get in a mob, Ron, people do things that they would never dream of doing in their normal everyday lives.
But you know what? I don't disagree with you at all. But just think, I'm going to think like a police officer for a minute. Okay, think about the premeditation. Think about you had to construct the Molotov cocktail. Right. So you had to get the bottle. You had to get you had to get some gas. Let's just say that. Right. And you had to put a fuse on it. You had to light it. You had to find a specific target, and then you had to throw it. So that's not spontaneous anything.
No,
that's premeditated, attempted murder, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I totally agree. And here's another thing that is in common, which I wrote in my article. These attorneys were furloughed when the COVID-19 thing came out. So again, you've got people who had jobs, who now don't have jobs.
And these two people will never have jobs again.
And they should.
At least not with the bar. If they allow these people to keep their bar licenses, then there really is no justice in the state of New York.
Well, and Rahman, the other person, is a woman. So, you know, I'm just amazed at people that go to that kind of length.
Well, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. No, not what, because it's a woman.
Are we going to have at it right
yeah,
now?
No, but that go to that kind of length to be an attorney, it's no easy task, Ron. It's a long road.
No, I see where you're going.
And you go all the way there, and then you ruin it with one stupid, senseless act like this.
And I'm just teasing with you. But you went in a different direction. And I was going to call you a sexist, okay? Because, you know, you were saying, well, women this, women that. Did you see that the other woman that was arrested for attempted murder with the Molotov this woman isn't the first woman. This Rahman woman isn't the first woman. She's actually the second woman.
Well, we wanted equality.
Well, you women are kind of violent.
We can be.
That's what I'm talking about.
Another sad thing that has been happening in Washington, D.C., and we've been to Washington a number of times, and, you know, the monuments in Washington are absolutely, they're breathtaking, they're stirring, they evoke just so much history and so much emotion, and during this whole protest, they have been totally defaced.
Well, that's because of a number of reasons that we've talked about time and time again. Number one, these people, and this has happened for generations, the schools have not taught them to respect the history of this country and the founding fathers and everything that was accomplished. You know, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, you know, all of these people, they have no idea because they don't get U.S. history. They get a regurgitated...
They get revisionist history. That's what they get.
That's the word I'm looking for. They get BS history, false narrative history. They don't learn anything about civics, so they don't have an appreciation for our country and for our democratic form of government. The other people, such as Antifa and Black Lives Matter, are leftist, Marxist organizations, militant organizations, and also anarchists, and so on Antifa's part. And so they could care less about monuments that talk about the history and the democracy of the United States of America. And that's why they deface it. Also, these are secularists. And so if you saw in New York City the graffiti defacing of St. Patrick's Cathedral, which is the cathedral of the city of New York, okay? Look at all the famous people, including popes, that have given masses there. These people could care less about religion, you know, because they're secularists.
No, because they've never been taught any of this. And this is a whole other problem we could discuss for hours, you know, just about society. This is heartbreaking, but it's not about George Floyd. It is being used as an excuse, but it is not about George Floyd. And I believe, Ron, that I saw in New York that the precinct, the New York PD precinct, was attacked.
No, that was in Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
Well, one in New York has been attacked. A lot of different police stations, precincts, cars have been attacked. But no, the one in particular that was attacked and burned was one in Minneapolis,
okay,
St. Paul.
But got it.
Was there one also in New York,
nope,
that was attacked?
I don't know.
But what happened, as I recall, in Minneapolis is that the mayor of Minneapolis made a horrible decision to abandon the precinct. So in other words, in sending more officers over there to, you know, guard and save the precinct, he ordered the precinct to be abandoned. And of course the looters came in and they looted everything that they possibly could and defaced it and then burned it. Okay.
So that was the worst thing that mayor could have done.
Strategic mistake. And, you know, by that mayor. And when you see things like that happening, it empowers the anarchists, empowers the bad people to do more of this and to get increasingly more violent.
On the other side of this, we saw a store where looters were coming by to loot, and two guys with AK-47 stood out front, big Bubba guys.
Well, they were Italians. Okay. Don't anger an Italian, okay? Because we take care of business.
And they protected their store, well, and the looters left. And that's what the PD needed to do, because I'm embarrassed that a mayor would order a PD precinct to abandon itself. That is like the total sign of weakness.
And then, you know, talking about Second Amendment, and you notice how all these mayors want to disarm the public, right? Especially in Calisuela, where we are right now, they want to disarm. People need to protect themselves. And it was interesting to see a video out of San Antonio, Texas, where we're pretty close to. The crowd came and started breaking windows. And actually, you and I know this block because it's pretty close to the Alamo. It's down near the Riverwalk. And they started breaking windows and taking something from the storefront through the windows. And then one black man entered into the store and gunfire from inside the store erupted. And the crowd just scattered. I mean, that's what you need. You need to be able to protect yourself and your property. You know, that poor business would have been looted completely. Anybody inside the business, in other words, the business owners, trying to protect, what would have happened to them had they not attempted, to protect their business, had they not been armed? The place would have burned to the frickin' ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's not bad enough that we have all of these businesses that have been closed and shuttered through the COVID crisis here. And now we have people burning them down. And I mean, I feel so badly for American business owners, Ron. This is a tragedy. I can't say enough that there's no excuse for any of this. Totally agree that the video looks terrible. Totally agree that the officer should have been arrested. Nobody argues with that. But this is not America. This is not the way it should be. And by the way, our enemies are laughing at us. China tweeted a few words. I can't breathe. Okay, that was them making fun of America. Iran, the same thing. I mean, come on, we're giving our enemies fodder, and these people need to be arrested. You know, there was a girl who put, a singer, actually, who put on her YouTube pictures of the people looting the stores, and she zoomed in on them. And she has taken so much heat from the musical community, right, that she did this, and they're all dissing her, saying that she should never have done it. Nobody's saying that the looters shouldn't have done it. I don't get that.
Well, it's just who is controlling the narrative right now in the United States. And so what people should do when they listen to the mainstream media, the CNNs, by the way, CNN got their building in Atlanta, Georgia, and I've been to the CNN building, had a complete tour of cable news network, and their windows were broken. They had graffiti sprayed on their windows. You know, people should pay attention to what the liberal mainstream media and how they're putting out the information. We had a good friend of ours just today remark to us that he was bouncing back and forth between Fox News, which is more conservative, and CNN, of course, which is uber liberal. And he says, man, it was like two different stories, two different narratives coming out.
Yeah.
And people should take heed to that. You know, what is really the truth? You know, take a look at things for yourself and make up your own mind as to what you're seeing. You don't need people like Dr. Ron and Linda telling you how to think. And I hope, you know, we don't do that. We don't come across like that, honey, and tell people what to think. We just want people to make up their minds. Take a look at what you're seeing. And you ask yourself, is that a false narrative? Are those white power people, or do you see cartel people? Do you see Russian foreign actors, you know, doing this? Or do you see anarchists and militants and people that want to destroy this country and destroy the businesses, which, as you properly indicated, have had huge setbacks?
Oh,
and,
huge.
And I don't think that these businesses in the urban centers are going to come back. I would tell you, based on what I saw with Rodney King and the Rodney King riots, you know, back in the mid-90s, and what I saw in Ferguson in 2016, I don't think these businesses are going to come back. And the only people that hurts is the minority community itself. And they should be the people that are up at arms. Absolutely be up at arms with respect to peacefully protesting this tragedy that befell George Floyd, okay, and honor his memory, but do it the right way. But you should absolutely be angered by the anarchists and the people from Black Lives Matter and the agitators from out of the city and out of state that are bussed in, and I believe many of whom are paid mercenaries. Those are the people that you need to be angry with. And as you said at the beginning of our first segment, 56 black men killed in Southside Chicago during the month of May, and not a peep from Lori Lightfoot or from anybody in the city council or the aldermen or whatever they call them in Chicago. Not a peep. You should be angered at that.
And Patrick Underwood, who was the law enforcement officer killed in Oakland,
a black man.
He is a black man, 53 years old. Not a peep about that. There's nobody protesting his death. And that's what's angering. The hypocrisy here is angering. This is not about one person, because no one person's life is more important than another person's life. All lives are important. And if you are saying that Black lives are important, which of course they are, then all Black lives need to be important.
Right. And stop killing Black lives.
Yes.
Okay, stop killing people.
And Chicago is a perfect example. And when I looked up the stats for Chicago, Ron, I was taken aback. I thought it was going to be something like 13, and it was 56 in the month of May.
Yeah, but that's not out of the ordinary. Well, it is out of the ordinary for Chicago. I don't think they'd had that many murders in May since 2015. And I think it was 2015 or 2016 when I wrote my Black Lives Matter book, that they had over 800 homicides during that year, which was the highest number of homicides they've ever had. But again, during that period of time where they lost, 800 people, over 800 people, and the vast, vast majority of whom were Black, not a peep out of the city council at that time. And I think Mayor Rahm Emanuel was the mayor at that time.
I actually want to update what I just said, because I just looked at the new stats for May, and we are at 71 shot and killed
in
Chicago.
Can you imagine
if anybody
that?
Wants to question my stats, they can go to heyjackass.com, which is a site that keeps the stats on Chicago shootings and murders.
Yeah, and I go to heyjackass.com myself, because these are vetted statistics and they break it down incredibly. I wish the United States Department of Justice, I wish the FBI could do the work that, and we'll give them a shout out. I mean, kudos to heyjackass.com, because they put out very, very accurate statistics, and it's actually mind-boggling. So we really would encourage our listeners and our followers to at least take a look at heyjackass.com, and I wish they had that heyjackass.com for every major city in the United States.
Well, and so 71 shot and killed, 293 shot and wounded. That is a huge amount of lives that have been affected. Let's get angry about that, and let's do some constructive things rather than burning places down, which does nothing for anybody. Who does that serve? Nobody.
Nobody. How about our last cup of coffee?
Okay.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our 4-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Ben, on our last cup of coffee out here at the RV park, and I think every once in a while you can hear a motorcycle kind of drive by and everything.
Yep.
We got a pretty decent place right on the water, and really not too far from our offices in SoCal.
No, it's not too far. It's probably not my favorite place to stay, but you know, you kind of do what you can, because here's the issue. We had reservations at our favorite place to stay several times.
Yeah, but that's in Los Angeles County.
Well, it is, but it's not far from here, but we're talking about, we're just on one side of the border and the other side of a border of different counties.
Right. We're just a few miles away from Los Angeles County border. We're in Riverside County.
Right. So Riverside County has allowed their RV parks to be open, And LA County has said, yes, you can open. And we made reservations, paid for the reservations. And then they said, they had to call us and say, well, they changed their mind. And then that happened to us several times. And we said, we got to find somewhere else
because we're coming to Calisuela. Yeah. And we need a place to stay.
So here we are.
We don't want to be homeless.
Got here today. And, you know, I want to talk about our trip here because it was a whole different experience. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, we've been out here so many times in the RV with the Desi dog. And I have to say that this one was the most bizarre trip that we've had so far.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we had great weather, which I was really happy because we've had some crazy weather trips. The weather between Texas and California can get interesting.
A little nasty, especially when you're going through the Texas plains outside of like Van Horn and yep. and things like that. Let's talk about a couple of the positive things. We had very good weather and we've had some decent rain this year in Texas, and especially in West Texas as we move towards the New Mexico border, and it was drop dead gorgeous.
It was beautiful. Yeah, everything was green and blooming, and so that makes a really nice drive. What was so different for us is that in Texas, our Governor Abbott has really made an effort to reopen Texas, let people go back to work. The restaurants are open. They're seating at 50% right now. The stores are open. We are not required. We are suggested to, but not required to wear masks.
All right. And everything are guidelines. The yeah. thing that I really like about what Governor Abbott did, and we just love this guy. He is he's a politician by, I guess, definition, but he is probably one of the smartest guys I've met.
Yeah.
And he is totally together, and he loves this great state and its people. But being as smart as he is and listening to his experts, he didn't make edicts or laws or orders or dictates. He created guidelines.
And he let people think for themselves, and that's worked out pretty well for Texas. So as we come west from Texas, the next state that we hit is New Mexico. And we come into New Mexico, and everything is closed down in New Mexico.
Right. We pulled into Las Cruces, which is one mm-hmm. of our favorite places to gas up and sort of refreshing ourselves and get a bite to eat. And we went to our favorite Mexican restaurant there in Mesilla, I think it's called. And it's called Adelante.
Oh, Adelante, yes.
All right. Great, great Mexican food. But why don't you talk about what that experience was like?
Well, we pulled into the parking lot, and although the sign said open, there was no cars whatsoever. So we were, you know, kind of confused about that. But there was a little tent with two girls sitting in it.
Yeah, a little tilt up.
With masks on. And they said, can I help you? Do you have a to-go order? And we said, no, we wanted to, you know, have some food. And they said, well, you have to order. They have to bring it out to you. You can't go in the restaurant. So, okay, so that's what we did. We ordered. The menu was extremely limited, not what we're used to. The food is still good. And everybody was very nice. So that's what we did.
And they let us sit in the RV
sure.
in the parking lot.
Because there was nobody else there.
And, so. And they had a nice dog park there. So we got to walk the dog and, you know, get her business taken care of.
Yes.
And we had a nice meal, but it was weird.
Yeah. And what I understand is that they're not allowed to open there for some time yet. So, then the next state that you come to is Arizona, and you go through Lordsburg, and you go through Tucson, and then to Phoenix. And again, I was surprised that most of the businesses were not open, as far as you could not go in a restaurant and eat. Now, a few you could.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what their rules are, but other places you could not. And we stayed overnight in Goodyear.
That's right.
And that was a really nice place to stay.
And I'm glad we did stay there. You know, normally we just kind of pick a Walmart or we pick a Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel.
And we love Cracker Barrel because they let you stay for free.
If you're an RVer,
Yeah.
You can stay behind a Cracker Barrel all night for free anytime you'd like.
And it's great because if you get there in the evening, you grab, a home-cooked meal, so to speak, and for dinner. And then in the morning, you grab some breakfast and you're OTD. You're out the door.
Right.
And you're on the road again. But what was kind of interesting, next door to Goodyear, there's a sort of a brand new built up suburb with shopping centers and very, very pretty. And that's in the town of Buckeye.
Yeah, I like that little town. It's going to be cute when they're all done with it.
It's desert. You got to know it. Well, it's hot. It's desert.
Phoenix is desert.
But they are really building up that little suburb outside of Phoenix. And we said, yeah, we'll come back again, when they're open. But they weren't open.
No, nothing was open. And they are not allowed to open for at least another month, they said.
Yeah.
So that's tragic. I mean, I just can't even imagine being a fast food restaurant or a restaurant period and not being able to open for months. That is just tragic.
Let me go back to the positive things, and people will appreciate this, especially those people that have traveled from Calizuela to Texas and, you're on the 10. Interstate 10 like we use, and that is the roads, the highways in Texas are absolutely beautiful, and they're smooth, they're clean, you don't see litter.
No.
You don't see anything. You get into New Mexico, another really good experience.
Roads were pretty rough this time in New Mexico.
I will say, as you get closer to Arizona, the roads started getting, a little bit beat up. Right?
Yes.
Then we come into Arizona.
And the roads were good.
Until you get close to California. And from Quartzsite to the border, which is the Colorado River and Blythe, they were pretty bad.
Well, but after Blythe, they're really bad.
Because now you're in Calizuela. Yeah,
it's horrible.
And they suckered all the people in the state 2 years ago and got them to vote for an increase in their gas taxes, promising them that the money was going to go to the roads. And Linda, where did the money go?
I think it went to pensions and things,
yeah,
didn't it? Yeah,
certainly not.
Maybe the train to nowhere, but it didn't go anywhere to roads. And the roads are literally, when you cross the border, they're noticeably different. And
Meaning bad.
And, it's interesting because the Desi dog had a great trip all the way to California. But once the RV is bouncing around on those roads,
she gets agitated.
Yeah, she doesn't like anxious. That at all. Yeah, she does get very anxious. So here we are in California, where we could not stay where we wanted to stay because they're on their third closure. And that's very frustrating for us. I've told you that I'm not real happy where we're staying, but we're going to make do with what we need to do because we have business to do, and we'll take care of it, and then we'll head back to Texas.
Yeah, I think what we'll try to do, if we can, is in a couple of 3 days, we've been told that maybe the RV park is going to open, and what we'll do is we'll see if we can make a reservation to stay there for a few days. But I think we've already sort of made the decision that as soon as we can conclude our business, and if we can do that a little bit earlier, we're the heck out of California and we're back to Texas, because it's just, unfortunately, and we'll probably get some pushback from our California friends and followers, but hey, people, it's a different state, and we just don't like it anymore.
Well, it's,
and it's sad.
Yeah. And another interesting thing is they have a lot more coronavirus here, and especially in Riverside County, where we are now. I think it's the second most coronavirus in the state. At least last time I looked, it may have changed. But almost nobody is wearing a mask.
Oh, no. Where? Here?
In Riverside County.
Oh, no, that's not true at all.
Oh, I haven't seen anybody wearing masks other than people at restaurants are fast food restaurants.
Okay, well, let me tell you my experience. Because if you remember when we gassed up, and I won't say where we gassed up, but it was in Riverside County and more towards the Orange County border. You remember I went into a big supermarket. Remember I had to gas up the truck.
Oh, yes,
the
van, yes.
The RV. And I went into the big supermarket to go get a couple of things that we wanted to make for dinner tonight. And every single person in that store was wearing a mask.
Oh, I'll be darned.
And, you know, I keep one in my pocket all the time, you know. And so I said, okay, you know, we're in the second most COVID-ridden county in California. I'm going to mask up. And, you know, I didn't glove up, but I carry my hand sanitizer with me religiously. And I was very careful. So, you know, you do what you need to do in order to make sure that you're not going to get sick.
Yeah. Right?
And we use our common sense, just like we always encourage all of our friends and followers. Just use your common sense.
Yeah. And I'm honestly a little bit uncomfortable being here. I'm being very careful about what I touch and, you know, staying kind of distant from people, because I do realize that they have much more of it here. We have been very free in Texas because our county where we live doesn't really have a lot. So now we're in a different kind of environment, and I need to pay attention more to what I'm doing, who I'm talking to, what I'm touching.
Well, yeah, sure. And then also, I mean, truth be told, we're in a little bit of a high risk group ourselves. And because we both had pneumonia once before, that puts us in a high risk group. And so we're going to be real careful. We're going to be real careful about keeping our social distance. We're going to be real careful about hand sanitizing and wearing that mask. And we already made the decision that we were going to load up the RV and the freezer full of food. And we were pretty much going to cook all of our meals, except for a couple of takeout meals, the whole time that we're here in California.
Yeah. And, you know, there's lots of interesting questions out there with people that love to travel, because travel is opening up right now.
Correct.
But it is open. But the question is, should you travel? And that's an interesting question, because I know for me, we had a trip planned to Italy and we had to cancel it. But I am really wanting to go back to Italy. But yet, I don't want to go back to Italy because they've had a huge amount of coronavirus. So I know Spain is taking, is now allowing travelers to come back to Spain, but they also had a huge amount of coronavirus there.
Well, speaking of places where they've had a huge amount of coronavirus, Mexico City.
Well, they have now, and it's going up a lot every day.
Well, people need to remember that Mexico City, and I might be wrong, I don't think I am, but I think Mexico City has the largest population of any city in the world. I think there's over 26 million people in Mexico City, and that's really dense population. And when you have dense populations, you really got to watch out, because it can run rampant, you know, through those areas.
Yeah. Because
everybody is really close together. And that's what you got to watch out for. And that's what we've been seeing in our big cities in the United States, you know, densely packed populations, recirculated air, people that have caught COVID-19 coming in and have been told shelter in place with their families because they're not taking them at the hospital. So then they give it to everybody in their families. I mean, there's been a lot of stupidity from our medical experts, and it's coming out, you know, in these big cities, and Mexico City is a new hotbed right now.
Well, I want a prediction from you. So from all of these demonstrations now, where you have all of these huge groups of people in all of these different inner cities, what do you think the result will be with COVID-19 and the crowds?
Wow. Well, there are so many unknowns, okay? So one of the unknowns is who traveled to these locations that was asymptomatic with COVID-19, mm-hmm. right? Who has COVID-19 that mingled with all of these other people? I think that's really important to know. But, you know, I've said this all along, and I just wrote an article. Hopefully it'll be up on the America Out Loud platform maybe tomorrow. And it's called Flattening the Fear Curve. And so I just kind of talk about some statistics. But what I say very succinctly is that expect COVID-19 statistics to go up, because as we get more testing, more universal testing, we are going to find more people with C19 antibodies in their system. And of course, the press is going to go wild over this, right? Because the press wants to scare you. But here's what I just want, and you know this because you and I have so many discussions about it, but our friends and followers, Linda, I hope they're going to pay attention and not just go get emotionally captured with the headline, oh my God, COVID-19 statistics up. Wait a minute, what kind of statistics? We expect more people to be tested and have positive for antibodies of COVID-19 in their system. What you want to look at is who is being hospitalized and how many people are dying.
And I don't see that going up in huge amounts, but here's one of the big problems that I cannot believe that they did incorrectly. They are taking the testing results of people who have antibodies, and they're lumping them into the COVID, basically the active cases. In other words, there's no distinction.
Right.
And so we really don't have any kind of true picture as to how many people are sick with this and how many people just have antibodies.
Absolutely. And it goes farther than this. So don't forget, even the CDC recently said that up to 25% of all of the so-called COVID deaths may not be COVID deaths at all. Okay. They may be deaths from people that died of pneumonia. They might be deaths of people that died from influenza or other pre-existing chronic illnesses. You know, there's so many. There's dementia, there's Alzheimer's, there's cardiovascular disease, there's lung disease. I mean, you name it. There are a lot of these chronic diseases and ailments. And don't forget who the target group is. And those are people over the age of 69 years old, of which most of them are in their 80s and older. And so there is a big difference, like I write in my article, Linda, there's a big difference between you dying directly from COVID-19 or you dying from something else and having COVID antibodies in your system, but they haven't confirmed that the COVID-19 is what killed you.
Right. And I will be interested to see 2 weeks from now what happens in these inner cities where all of these demonstrations took place. That is going to be very telling, because if we get a lot more COVID, we know one thing. But if we don't, we know another thing. And I'm totally waiting to see those results.
And I'm going to do the same thing, because I think that's a great point that you just brought up. So again, Dr. Ron's perception is we're going to see a lot more COVID-19 cases, but fewer deaths. I don't think that the death statistics are going to rise markedly. I do not believe the hospitalizations are going to rise markedly. I absolutely expect positive testing and antibodies of COVID-19 to rise dramatically as we test tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and perhaps even millions of Americans.
Well, on that note, let's get the Desi dog out for her nighttime walk and get her to bed.